So let's go quickly back over the Mishnah, and then we'll skip to the issue of pot. Okay, so the Mishnah says ve'elu dvarim she'ovdei kochavim asurin ve'inu suran isur hana'a. So these are the things of the non-Jews that are forbidden, and their prohibition is not prohibited in benefit. It's only usher to eat. This is in contrast to the previous case, which was wine. Wine is prohibited. It's a benefit. Chalav she'chavovei kochavim, milk. That was milk by a non-Jew, ve'en Yisrael ro'ehu, without a Jew seeing him. Right, so this is one of the major things, that by milk, the standard is not that a Jew needs to do it. Right, this wouldn't work by Bishul. Right, by Bishul, if the chef, to pick on you again, right, was watching Mordechai with admiration as he, sorry, other way around, Mordechai was watching the chef with admiration as she cooked his meal, that would still be Bishul Akum. That would be no less romantic. But by milk, if a non-Jew does it, and as well, right, the reason seems to be because by milk, the primary concern is kashrus issues, right? As opposed to Bishul Akum, where we see there's other dimensions. Yeah, possibly. So there, if the Jew doesn't see it.
No.
You could, in theory.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Okay, can we finish? The pot and bread, the shemen shalan and oil, Rebbe ubeit dino hitiro hashemen. And Rebbe and his beit din gavalt were permitted the shemen, the oil. The Gemara says, "V'ashlokot ukvashin jadarkan lotet l'tochan chometz." Da da da. Right, that we've already seen. Okay, so now if you go to the Gemara, so the first the Gemara takes up the issue of milk, which we're not going to do. The second,
they permitted oil. Why did they permit oil?
We're going to see that in just a second, but we're not going to start. But let's go. Just give a few lines to Apat. Okay.
Skip. Pas or pas?
It depends. If you're pronouncing it as a suff, it's pas. If you're pronouncing it as a tough, it's pas.
So which is the correct way? Because I don't like how people say, sometimes say things are... I know.
Okay, stop yelling. If you pronounce things Ashkenazis, then it's suff, and it's pas. If you pronounce it Sfaradit, or like an Israeli would, you pronounce it pat. If you pronounce it Temani, it would be puff.
What does the Nikudot say? It
doesn't say anything. It depends.
Is there a dot in there or not?
No.
And it's... But
stop,
right?
Yes. No, but Svaradim, right, do not pronounce it. That way just pronounce it the same as a tough, and Tananim will pronounce it as a thuff.
I will explain this.
Yeah, no, I know
okay.
That.
Veha pat, bread. Amar Reb Kahana, Amar Reb Yochanan. Okay? Pat lohutra bevetin. Oil was permitted. Bread was not. Yes? In Beit Din. Michal, the Ika, the Mandushari. Does that imply that their Beit Din didn't permit it, but there was some other court, some other opinion that did permit it? Meaning that it was once prohibited and then we rolled back the prohibition. Gemara says, in. Yes, that is indeed the implication. The Chi'ata Revdini. Because when Revdimi came, Omar Pam Achad Yotza Rebbe Lisade. Once Rebbe went to the field, the Havi Oveko Chavam Lefanav Pat Porni. And someone brought him bread from a baker's oven. A porni, a large baker's oven.
You're skipping forward. What about all the stuff in the Gemara?
I said, I'm skipping to bread. Ma'afe Sa'ah. It was a sa'ah worth of bread.
That's, let's see. The exact measurements in a sa'ah would be, let us see.
How exquisite is this loaf of bread? I love it.
It's a 1.9 gallon or 7,200 cubic centimeter bread.
100 cubits?
7,200 cubic centimeters.
No,
cubic centimeters.
That's why I was confused for a second. That's
it's big. Fine. And Amar Rebbe, wow. Kama nae patzu. That is a beautiful loaf of bread there. Ma ra'um chachomim la'osra. How could the rabbis prohibit such a beautiful loaf of bread? And the Gemara says, I'm sorry. I think I missed something. Gemara says, Ma ra'u chachamim? Are you kidding me? Why would you think that the rabbis shouldn't? But we know the answer to that. What is the answer? Mishum chadnut. Because of chadnut, whatever chadnut means. But the fact that you think the loaf of bread is beautiful doesn't lower the prohibition. That's like saying that woman is beautiful. Why should it be us or to marry her? Right? You know, because you're not allowed to marry her. And the bread might lead you to marry her.
Is it technically something in the Torah because you're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman?
Possibly.
Because I remember in
or possibly not.
But that's the point. Possibly not. Because in the Sanhedrin in France, right where they...
No, because the Gemara has a machloket.
No, I know that. I'm saying...
No, the Gemara has a machloket. The Gemara...
No, I was saying that they brought it up when they were asked this. They didn't have a definitive answer in the Sanhedrin of France. They're like, oh, well...
Yeah, well, that's because they were on pain of death. No. There were a lot of things they said in the Sanhedrin of Napoleon that don't prove anything.
Well,
no, Napoleon was known for being reasonable.
For Jews, honestly, he really did like Jews for whatever reason.
Sure. Exactly. Very good. That's like the people who say, it's like the people who ask, why are the Chabad rabbis in Russia not coming out publicly against Putin? I wonder.
They did.
Okay. The answer to that question is obvious, and we're going to move on. So, fine. Okay.
I love how it's like the Gemara was like incredulous.
So the Gemara says...
Incredulously asked.
So Elama Ra'u... Chachamim lotzra bisadeh. So the Gemara said, what was he saying? And again, let's try to read the Gemara and then we'll come back to some mafarshim and deal with it. The Gemara was saying that can't be what he was asking. He was fully aware of the fact that there was such a prohibition. He was saying, and this is where you start to see the idea that things that are us or because of intermarriage have a contextual component. Because what's the contextual component that the Gemara says here? Well, Mishum Kizvurin Zelamaro Chamloz, Rashi says it was Besadeh. Why? The Lekal Mechalim Shuched Akroib Almahu. He thought that it wasn't going to lead to intermarriage. Why? Right? We don't say this by Bishalakum. And this is an important point, is that even if Bishalakum is also motivated by Chatnut, not all Isurei Chatnut are treated the same. The prohibitions that are prohibited because of chatnut, whatever chatnut means, intermarriage or the problematic relations up to, including intermarriage, we talked about at the beginning of Bishalakum. So he's saying he thought that maybe it shouldn't be usher when it's a one time thing. Right? Like, yeah, if I go to the bakery every day and I see the beautiful baker and she bakes, correct. But if someone brings you even the most beautiful 1.9 gallon loaf of bread out in the field, then, and it says, oh, this is from the baker, you'll be like, I must track down this Cinderella who made this loaf of bread. Whereas it says, that's not reasonable. And therefore, what? And then she turns back into a pumpkin or something, which is also Mishum Bishalako. So not a pumpkin. Whatever. I don't know. Is pumpkin eaten raw? So maybe yes, maybe yes. I don't know. Is Olal Shuch Malachim, I guess. Ask what they do on Halloween on the... it's not the roe for the pumpkin. Oh, okay. Anyways.
They're not that good.
I don't know. Okay, I'd have to look it up. Anyways, the Gemara says, "Kitzvurna am hitir Rebbe apat." The Gemara says, "Aha, is that Rebbe saying is mutter?" The Gemara says, "No, velohi Rebbe lo hitir apat." The people just made a mistake. The reason they had to say that it's usher is, and that the Beit Din didn't matter, is not because there was someone who was matter it, but rather because people thought that Rebbe had been moderate. Rather, he wasn't being moderate. He was just expressing his frustration that he couldn't have this beautiful loaf of bread. But what I want to point out here, what's important in this sugya so far, is that the Gemara, right, conceptually, again, just in pshat, What's important is this idea that even if you have multiple prohibitions that are generated by the concerns of, let's call it intermarriage, we don't treat them all equally. Okay, that's important. Why is that important? Because we already saw in the Bishel Pot thing about how much involvement you need from the Jew, we don't have the same standards. Right? So you would say, why? Isn't cooking in Shabbat the same as baking? Right? Baking, cooking, cooking, baking on Shabbat, it's all the same. So if that's the case, then just like in Shabbat, cooking and baking are the same. It both violate. So maybe in Bishel Akum, Bishel and Pot, Akum should both be the same standards. The answer is no, clearly not. The Gemara does not assume that the Isurei Chatnot are all the same. They have different standards. Right? They have different standards. That's important. Right? That's why it's not fully predictive. From Bishel to Pot, from Pot to Bishel, and all the others, right? And, right, well, the simple pshat is that milk is not about this. It's about kashrut. That doesn't stop some of the mafarshim from saying it as a secondary concern of chatnot. But again, there the standards are very different. You don't need Jewish involvement at all. You need Jewish supervision, which is not true by Bishel and Pot, which is obviously why we have kulot of milk, right, that we wouldn't have by Bishel, right, where, right, by milk, no one thinks it has to be a Jewish, you know, person milking, right, and then you have Rav Moshe's kula that you don't even need a Jew present, right, but that's because the standard is ro'ehu. It's supervision to begin with, and the question is what type of supervision? But supervision was the standard to begin with, rather than Bishel and Pot, where the standard is involvement. Yes, Rudy.
I was going to say, but all of these things, are these derabanan? Like they're derabanan. Like it's saying the rabbi didn't want to.
Yes. They are derabanan.
So is it saying, though, that we're not allowed to ever make friends with non Jews? Look, it's otherwise it was prohibited due to the concern that Jews might befriend Gentiles while breaking bread with them, which could lead to marriage with Gentiles.
Yes.
So are we not allowed to have be friends
with non-Jews? There for the first year when I talked about generally what chatnut means?
No, I don't know if I was.
Okay.
I was in the beginning, but I don't remember it.
In the beginning. So we said there, right, the chatnut might be an intermarriage. It might be. Have relations with them that lead to problems, and I think you even asked there, can we not be friends? And I said, probably I don't know.
Yeah, what?
And I said, it's more complicated than that.
It just seems like it's trying everything to.
But it is the case that part of the problem is that, yes, because each of these Isurei Chatnut means something else, it's clear that Chazal are trying to carve out a certain framework. But it's not like you can look at one and then you'll get the whole picture, right? Because they're very different standards, right? So, like, yes, Bishel and Pot are about production, right? Milk, which again is primarily not about, is more about kashrut, but still, some of the parts I'm saying secondarily is about chatnot, is about supervision. Certain things that are clearly about chatnot are very much about context and not about production. The classic example, though its status is very different, is shechar, right? Is alcohol, beer is alcohol, right? Where alcohol, where beer produced by a non-Jew is not forbidden, but the Gemara brings two positions as to whether you're allowed to drink it in the store. Right, you're not. So the Gemara says you're definitely not a drinker in the store. The question is, are you allowed to eat it on the doorstep, like once you've left the building, or do you have to wait till you get home? Right, which would mean that it's not usher to produce it, but even Jewish produced beer might be usher at a bar. Nikuda. Right. Right. Period. End of story.
That's what I was going to ask about sales. Like, right? Could we add?
And the answer to that question is that may be the case. The answer to that is not obviously no.
It's a standard that started in Bavaria before the unification about making beer, basically make beer great again type thing.
Good for beer.
Which created very strict standards for how you should produce beer.
Okay.
All of the those basically said no additives. This is still practiced today. Any beer that says that it follows Bavarian purity law,
yes. You know, okay. Thank you. But it would still be usher to drink it in a beer in the bar.
Of course.
Correct. Yes,
because...
This is, by the way, that's a major sugya. I happen to love that sugya. I have a very... I really like the sugya of Sheikh Rakam. I think it's a beautiful sugya. It's very complicated. I wrote an article, two articles, that I actually did publish. I know many of the things I leave on my computer I never publish. That one I actually did publish. I like in two installments. On bars and drinking, bars and parties and drinking. What? So that one I published on Torah Musings.
I'm almost afraid to read it, Rabbi, because I'm afraid I can ever go to a party again because there might be a non-Jew there.
Yeah, go ahead, read it. Go ahead, read it.
It's a waste of time when you could be shiling
away. Why would anyone ever want to go to a party? No, no, you never want to go to a party. Anyway, Sigmar says, Rav Yehuda, Sigmar says, V'item Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar lo kach haya masa. You got the story wrong. Ela amru pamachar halach Rebbe l'machom echad. Rebbe once went to a place and he saw v'ra pat dochuk l'talmidim. And he said, give out. Give out the my students, they don't have enough bread. Amar Rebbe, ein kan palter. He said, is there no baker? Kishvur nam lomar palter of it kochavim. So they thought that he was saying even a non-Jewish baker. Behulo amar el paltar Yisrael. What he meant was a
Jewish baker.
A Jewish baker. Meaning he said, why is there no bread? Isn't there a baker? And the people there said, aha, he must think that bread baked by a non-Jewish baker is permitted. And no, he just meant, where's the Jewish baker? What, there's no Strauss or Aroma or the Nechama's or Schick's Bakery. I have to say Schick's Bakery. It's Mishpacha. First of all, Nechama's is Israel, and yes, Nechama's is a major bakery chain here. Tribers, you know, whatever. Well, where are all the Jewish bakers? So Amar Rabbi Chelbo. No, it's the issue of Parakum.
But I'm saying, there's reasons behind these different things.
The Gemara says it's an issue of intermarriage. The Gemara, right, while Bob Bishol, the Gemara didn't say it explicitly. Here, the Gemara does say it explicitly, right? The Gemara is, it makes it clear. So Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Afilinam Laman Yamar Palter Ovid Kochavim. Rabbi Chelbo says, even according to the position that the inference was correct, that a non-Jewish baker would have produced permitted bread. Lo amran el delekar paltar Yisrael. That's only if there wasn't a Jewish baker. Avo makom dika paltar Yisrael lo. So what does that mean? So now the Gemara introduces two interesting points. One is that the Gemara raises the possibility that in fact it is true that pot paltar, that bread produced by a non-Jewish baker, but what's the implication? A non-Jewish baker, but maybe not a non-Jew in a private context. That would be permitted. The Gemara, despite its initial rejection, the Gemara does seem to suggest there is such a position, even at this stage in the Gemara. The second is that the Gemara is willing to recognize possibility of gradations, of this is usher only if you don't have a choice. Sorry, only usher if you have another choice. Right? That's already a big kiddush. We don't say that by Bishol. Right, so we already see the Gemara is bringing nuances into the discussion that we didn't see by Bishol. Second, Rabbi Yochanan or Filaman or Paltar or Kochavim, and even if you say it was a non-Jewish baker, Hani Mili Bisadeh, you need two factors: non-Jewish baker in the field, Aval Beir Lo Mishum Chatnut, but in the city it would be prohibited because of intermarriage issues.
But in the field, no, it would be worse in the field. There's no one watching if anything happens. It's not, remember, you said it's not just marriage, it could also be improper relations.
Yeah, but he's not bringing it to you. The Jew brought him bread from a non-Jew.
Oh, I thought it was a non-Jew bringing him bread.
Okay. No. I would not suggest that you go into a deserted field with a...
That's what I'm saying. That's what? Like when I'm like, he was walking in the field.
That would be, that's different, that's called yichud. Right, if you and your, mystery non-Jewish baker woman go out into the middle of the field on a date on, a mountaintop. No, this is bad.
I thought they were coming to him. Like, I thought he was walking in the field and the farmer saw him and said, here, take some of my bread, or sent his daughter to bring him some of his bread.
So it sounds like a Jew brought him, but okay. So Ayevo, Ave Minakid Vachel, Pat, Abe Mitzre. Ave Mitzre, right? He would bite and eat bread on the fields. And Amr Lu Ravavi, Tamer of Nachem Rayitzchak, Lo Tishto Bade, Devo de Gochalachma Dar Moi. So you saw that he was apparently more Makil, because he would have it in the fields. Right? Aha. The Gemara says, how much did the Gemara buy that head there? Not so much, because Nachem Rayitzchak said, don't speak with him. right? Don't talk to him anymore because he violated Isser Darabanan. Never speak to him again.
They were the rabbis making him.
Correct. And he's a rabbi. Never speak to him again.
But he's one of the
rabbis. Out. Out. Goy. Don. No, we don't talk to him.
So this was a Vihu.
Evo, yeah.
At the boundaries of the field, interesting.
Okay. So now let's skip down a little bit.
Which you can eat in the city, you're saying.
You cannot in the city. Everyone agrees. Good. So now the next sugya, we have to skip down a little bit. So the Gemara then at the bottom here of Lamed Hey Amud Bet deals with Shemen. Now the Gemara thinks that Shemen is actually a very old Gzera and quotes that Rav Amar Daniel Gazar Alav. Right? This goes back to Daniel. Shemen, Rav Amar Daniel Gazar Alav. This goes back to Daniel. Like Daniel and Tanakh Daniel. Like Daniel. You know, that book that you all read. You better have read Daniel. Okay. But you know who he is. Shmuel Amar. And Shmuel says, Lifatan Shel Kelim Tmeim Osartan. What's the problem? Because they pour they pour the oil into kelim, which are tame. So the Gemara says, "Atu kule ama ochle tarat ninu." What, does everyone only have tahor things? You don't have to eat tahor. Only if you're a kohen, whatever you want to be makbid and you're a chaver, but you don't have to eat tahor things. So Ella's lifatan shel kelim asuran osartan. He says, "You're right. It's not." That we're worried that they put things which are kosher into the kelim, the problem of kashrut. So now I'm going to skip some of the stuff here about shemen. Actually, you know what? I'll read through it quickly. But what do you see here? So as I told you already, right, is that even though the simple pshat you might have thought is that all these prohibitions are united because they're all in one Mishnah, it's very clear that that's not the case. Right? Because here the Gemara says the issue is it first suggests suman tara and then it says it's kashrut.
Wait, is it this bread? Because it said that
there's oil. No, but my point is just that the list that you have in the Mishnah, or the list that you have in the Mishnah, is not unified in its rationale. Right? That's clear.
So the list, some of it is for intermarriage, some of it is for
it's for kashrut, some of it for tumah and tara, right? All different things. So now the Gemara says, "I'm relation with the Rav Bishlam Daminas Lidavan Shel Kelim Asirit Av Sartan Hayin Dechazer Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Martav Amar Dere Darish." Rebbe, some law, I mean, it's even Shemen, Rebbe Yehuda, Vedino, Nimna, Lavehitiru. So he says, okay, according to me, that it's an issue of kashrut. So I understand that what happened later on is, remember we said that was Rebbe Yehuda Mekel on pot? And our answer is no. Then it says, but he was on Shemen. He did permit Shemen. And why was he permitted? Because Ksavar, Notin Tam Lefgam, Mutar. Because he said, what's Notin Tam Lefgam? Lefgam. When the taste is rancid, it's mutar, right? That's why if you cook something in a pot 24 hours after non-kosher was cooked in it, it doesn't make your food not kosher because the taste of the non-kosher is lifgam. It's rancid already.
But then, Rabbi, by that logic, couldn't you say, I'm going to switch my pots and pans every 24 hours?
So we don't do this lechatchila because you have a chiyuv to kosher it, but b'diavad, it works. B'diavad, it can't treif it up if it's clean. If it's not clean, well, that's the problem.
So then why do we arbitrarily say it's allowed, but we're not going to do it?
It's not arbitrary.
You just said we're allowed to do it.
No, I did not. I said it doesn't make it not kosher. You're not allowed to do it, but it doesn't make it not kosher.
If it doesn't make it not kosher, then isn't it kosher by definition or no?
No.
So is the difference between, it could be somewhere in between not kosher and kosher.
It is forbidden to do this, but post facto, it is kosher.
Fine. So
the exact lumdus of it is complicated, right? And depends on a lot of sugyot here, so I'm not going to do it now.
The thing of milk drops in, and it's 1/60.
Correct. It's a similar thing, right? With certain things, you're not allowed to do it. Mivad l'nesrul chatchila. That's a little bit different, but yes, right? But post facto, it's fine. But you can't do lechatchila, right? You can't say, aha, I need a little bit of creamier
chillant.
So, So anyways, the Gemara said, fine. That makes sense, because according to you, what will happen is that Rebbe came along and said, look, I don't understand your rationale. You think there's a kosher problem. I think there is no kosher problem, so I'm going to waive I'm going to uproot the prohibition. Fine. So the Gemara said, because the oil is put in a vessel, which once had not kosher on the walls, it's not going to make it not kosher, because the taste Because the non-kosher taste in the walls is going to be rancid, and therefore it doesn't affect the oil.
Oil itself. I mean, I thought you were saying if a non-Jew brings you a bottle of oil, you're saying we can only use their vessels for our oil.
No. It's their oil, the Gemara is saying, is prohibited because their vessels had non-kosher things in before they put the oil, and the Gemara says, yes, but that taste doesn't count.
I thought the issue was with Avodah Zarah, right? Because don't they use oil in Avodah Zarah?
No. Again, I told you, no. Right, everything here is different. Here, the Gemara is assuming that it's a kosher problem.
So they don't think of the other thing? That's interesting.
So the Gemara says, fine. I get that. But El Lididach Damar Daniel Gozer Alav. But according to you, that this was instituted by Daniel. Gozer Alav. Daniel Gozer Vater Abiyuda Anasi Mavatale. Daniel instituted it? And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi B'mechila Kvodo. You know, uprooted it. He can't do it. Not because he's not as great as Daniel. I don't know. Maybe he is. But, Vatnan Ein. Beit Din Yachol Levatel Divrei Beit Din Chaveiro Elam Kin Gadol Hemenu BeChokhmah VeMinyan. But you're not allowed. A later Beit Din is not allowed to uproot the decree of a previous court unless there is greater in wisdom and number. The presumption here is that they are not. Now, what is number? Good question. Because Sanhedrin, do they have different numbers? Good question. No, so that would be Chokhmah. And then they say, well, how do you judge Chokhmah? So some people say it's like cumulative knowledge. Is it? How is it the wisdom of the oldest sage? And then what is minyan? Because doesn't every Sanhedrin have the same number? So they said maybe it's the number of Talmidim that the people in the Sanhedrin have. So how many people have their authority? Or how? Or maybe it is the age of something, 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 right? Yeah, there are all types of fascinating different perushim. So the Gemara says, how could he uproot it, right? So in general, though, this is a rule that once a decree is in place, it cannot be uprooted, except by a then it's greater in these two factors, whatever they mean. Chochmah v'minyan. So Amar le simloi luda'a ka'amart shiny luda'i de mezalzalu. He says, please, you quoted Rav Simloi from Lod. Nothing anyone in Lod says is believable. Never happened.
The current city of Lod. Huh?
Yeah, from Lod. He's like, people from Lod, they don't care about the rabbis. They make fun of rabbis. They don't care about rabbis. If they say something a rabbi did, just don't believe them. Amar le, Ashlach le. He said, oh, really? Would you like me to call him? And you can ask him yourself. If he got embarrassed. So he says, Amar Rav, Imheim lo darshu anan lo darshinan. So now they said, okay. Rav claimed that Rav Yehuda had made a mistake by prohibiting it. So now he says, let's go through this. The pasuk says in Daniel, Vaktiv ayasam Daniel libo asher lo yikal bepat bagamelech. Daniel promised, committed that he wouldn't what? He wouldn't defile himself with the king's food. Right? Daniel wouldn't eat of the king's food. He only had fruits and vegetables. Of yayin, and he wouldn't have his, right? He didn't have his yayin mishtav. Yayin mishtav, he wouldn't have his wine. B'shtei mishtaot akaduv midaber. So the Gemara says, what are we medayek? Echad mishtei yayin, echad mishtei shemen, whether they're having wine or oil, which are both drinks, are both liquids. Now, this is very fascinating. Why is it, just briefly, this is important, but why do Chazal believe that the Gzerot, what's the logic, besides the Diuk in the Pasuk, but what's the logic to say Daniel is the person who started these Yisurim? What's the logic to say something like that? Which are? So he's the right, meaning... The reason is, well, first of all, he clearly does refuse to have the food of the king. But the point is that Daniel is a book about someone who's found in the non-Jewish court, and he actively is anti-assimilationist, right? Like, he goes out of his way to not assimilate. Right? That's his personality, and Hanan Mishael V'Azariah, right? And Chazal built a whole philosophy around Daniel, essentially, that Daniel is basically the father of the person who teaches us how to survive amongst the non-Jews, right? That's what Daniel is. Parenthetically, in Pshat, there's an opposite strategy. Daniel's strategy is dig your heels in, scream to the heavens, I'm Jewish. And anytime they try to challenge you, say, kill me though. Just kill me. You want to kill me? Fine. And that happens multiple times in the book, right? Chanan, Yishol, Azariah gets thrown in the fire. He gets thrown to the lions, right? Right? It's like, you want to kill me? Go ahead, right? I don't care. And when the kings challenge him, he's like, look, God's going to kill you today. I mean, I don't care. What's the matter to me? Right? Like, the king makes a decree, don't daven at all. He's like, okay, goes into his house, walks up to the attic, opens the window, sticks his head into the window, and davens to Yerushalayim, right? Like, his is the way you deal with being amongst the non-Jews, is you stick it in their face. I am Jewish, take it or leave it. You want to kill me? Go ahead, right? Who is the opposite? Esther. Same time period, more or less, right? And Shat, she is, how does she survive? Hides it, Ligamre.
But that's
the what do Chazal? No, that's leader, not the beginning. So what do Chazal do? They read Daniel into Esther. They read Daniel into Esther, and they say, oh, she also wouldn't have non kosher. Right? That's what I said. The Midrash, what the Midrash does consistently is it reads Daniel into Esther and says, no. The only way to deal with being amongst the non-Jews is the Daniel way, right? And you think Esther is a different way? She's not.
But clearly she was. She was not out loud and proud Jewish.
I remember in day school they taught us that Esther,
yeah. Okay. Anyways, so the Gemara says.
I wish you could have gotten the kosher food. You
know? So Gemara says, Rav Savar al libo sum. Ulechol Yisrael Hora. So the Gemara says, amazingly, everyone agrees that Daniel himself maintained these prohibitions. The Machloket is Rav holds that he instituted this rule for himself and told the Jews to paskin this way as well. Ushmuel Savar Alibo Sam Ulechol Yisrael Lo Hora. That he did it himself, but he did not institute it for others. So the Gemara says, "Vishem and Daniel Gazar, really? Was oil prohibited by Daniel? Va'amar Be'eli Avime Nota'a Mishmei Dirav, but didn't Bali same in the name of Avime not the name of Rav? Piton Ushmanon Yenon Uvnotan Kulan Mishmona Ezer Davarhim. You got it wrong. Oil and bread and wine and the prohibitions against their daughters are part of those magic 18. Remember the 18? Which, according to the Yerushalmi, Shammai literally killed Beit Hillel to prevent them from coming in so that they could pass these slew of prohibitions. How could you say it's Daniel? So the Gemara says, maybe you'll tell me the Chitema Ata Daniel Gazar Velo Kibel. Maybe you'll tell me that Daniel instituted it and they didn't accept it. V'atu talmidei dehil v'shamay v'gazer v'kibel, and then Hillel and Shammai's talmidim came and they instituted it and they accepted it. Im kein ma'asa ute dirav. Then who cares that Rav tells me that Daniel set it up if it didn't work? Ela Daniel gazer lav be'ir. So you're right. Gemara says there are different stages. Daniel prohibited it in the city. V'atu inu v'gazer afilu b'sadeh. And then Hillel and Shammai expanded it to be applied in the field. The Gemara says, but how could Yehuda Anasi be makil on that which Shammai and permit that which Shammai and Hillel prohibited? You're not allowed to uproot a gzera unless you're greater in number and wisdom. Va'od Amar Rabba Bar Barchanam Reb Yochanan Becha Yachol Levad Abedin Chaveru Chutz Mishmon Asar Davar. And there's an exception to the rules. The 18 things can never be uprooted. Shafil Yavo Eliyahu Veidino in Shomen Lo. Even if Eliyahu and his Beit Din would come, these 18 are unique, right? So the Gemara says, aha, but there's another magic rule. Now, this sugya, besides for being interesting for our sugya, it also is very important for the general issue of Gzeirot. So Gemara says, Amar of Mishar Shiyah, Matam, Hoel Pashat Yisuro, Berov Yisrael. because these prohibitions, the Isser spread to the majority of the Jewish people. But Shemen, lo pashat Yisrael, bro of Yisrael. Oil did not become widespread. The Amar of Shmuel Bar Abba, Amar of Yochanan, Yashur Ravatin Uvadko al Shemen Shlo Pashat Yisrael, they checked. And they said, aha, are people keeping it? They're not keeping it. Lo Pashat Yisrael, bro of Yisrael, Yisamchu Ravatinu al Divrei Reshbag, al Divrei Elazar Bar Tzadok, Shio Omrim, Ein Gozen Jero Tzibor, El Ein Kein Rovatir Yeholim Amodba. The rule is we don't make a gzera unless the majority of the tzibor can withstand it. Right? Now, this is a very important rule. The exact parameters are huge machloket.
Does this mean that go from generation to generation to another generation?
So this is a huge machloket. The simple pshat, it's a big machloket, we don't know what it means. The simple pshat is that this rule is at the beginning. Meaning, if the rabbis try to institute a gzera and it doesn't take hold, it's null and void.
Right, because you're saying
right.
The people.
Right, because it has to be accepted. Now, what happens if accepted and then later people rebel? That might not help. Right, that might not help. But if it never takes hold, right, that's a machloket, though, here. The exact parameters of this are machloket, but let's at least finish this line. Right, and therefore, right, we don't make a takana that the tzibur can't withstand. The Amar of Adar Barava, Maikra, what's the pasuk? So the pasuk in Malachi says, "Bameira atem neorim, vaoti atem kovim agoy kulo." You are suffering under a curse as you go on defrauding me, the whole nation of you. Now, what does that mean? So we make a diuk of this. That what's the diuk? Kovim here means to defraud. But we make a what's the drasha on it? Koveya, to establish an ordinance. Agoy kulo iik agoy kulo in ilolo. If you have the whole nation, yes. If no, no. Yes.
So I was going to say, doesn't Tosfot vote, doesn't that vote the whole thing? When people rebel against the gazelas and stuff, they kind of try to work it around, but they're not.
Right. So the question of whether Tosfot vote in certain circumstances, it's not all circumstances, you're overstating it by a million times. But in certain circumstances, does Tosfot vote seem to have post facto justifications for gzera that fell out of favor? Yes. Is there any predictive rule for when Tosfot says this and invokes batal gzera, and then says, yeah, the reason doesn't apply and it's batel, and we don't have to worry about the formalities and case where he doesn't? The answer is no. The Achronim try, and none of them work.
What do you mean it doesn't work? Like, people don't accept it?
No, it's not totally not predictive. Like, there's a million different cases, and none of them provide predictive rules for when Tosfot does this and when he does not. None. Good luck.
So it's inconsistent, basically, when it's possible.
Yep. What does that tell us about the legal process in halacha? Lech teda. I have no idea. It is one of those questions that hangs over the world, and as I've told you before, and you say this as if you're shocked, but I've told you this before, who should you ask?
Rabbi Clapper.
No, who should you, I mean, you could, but who should you really ask? No.
Google?
Rabbi Brody, because Rabbi Brody's dissertation was on this topic.
Oh, really?
Was specifically on this rule.
Which on one?
No, on Yachal of Ein Beitin Yachal of Atel Ben Chavero Atche Yeh Gadol Menu Chacham Aminyan, its applications, right? And yes, ask him, and you know, well, I've read parts of it, because he's sent me, somebody also has published parts of it, like chapters of it in different places, specifically last year on the Shemitah issues. Remember how much time we spent on the Shemitah issues? Right? On the different stages of Shemitah. Remember? No, Shemitah Bezman Hazed, right? Oh, okay. Right? So that's one of the major places in the Bavli, the version of the Bavli, the version of the Yerushalmi. So he wrote a whole article that he published already separately. So Gufa. So now the Gemara returns to it. Amar Bailey Amar Avime no ta'am Mishmei Derav. Pita Nushmanan Yenan Minotein Kulan Mishmon Eser Davarhein Binotein Mayis. Gemara says, what is their daughters? So what is that Gzera? Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Gazral Binotein Nidot Me'ari Satan. That even though Midoraita, only Jews can be considered Nida. Right? Have Tumat Nida. Right? I mean, obviously, non-Jewish women also menstruate. But Tumat Nida is a Jewish Tumah. But Midrabanan were more machmir. And we say that, no, that non-Jewish women have Tumat Nida from birth.
They're impure from birth?
Yes. They have the Tumat Nida, right? Now, the obvious right meaning, so if they touch things, it's metame, you couldn't, right? If they touch truma, you couldn't eat it, things like that. Ugniva Mishmei Derav Amar Kula Mishum Avodit Kochavim Gazer. He said, all of these are based on Avodah Zarah. And now, you remember, we saw this beginning of the Gemara. The Chi'ata Rav Acha Bar Adam Rav Yitzchak Gazer Al Pitan Mishum Shmanan. They were Gozer on oil, bread because of oil. My Omei Deshem Nimipat. Why is oil a primary concern? The Gemara says, no. Ella Al Pitan Ushmanan Mishum Yena. They, right, so remember, before we distinguished between oil and bread, and now we're saying, no, we prohibited oil and bread, but really those are derivatives of yayin. Val yayin and mishum binotein, and we prohibited their wine because of their daughters, val binotein mishum davar acher, remember this? And their daughters because of the other thing. Val davar acher mishum davar acher, and the other thing because of the other thing. So the Gemara says, binotein d'oraiti, what are you talking about? Isn't marrying their daughters biblical? Isn't intermarriage prohibited biblically? And Mars says no. Mars says maybe not. Maybe only the seven nations are biblically prohibited for intermarriage. After that, it's rabbinic. And then they instituted it. This is what I was saying to you before. And according to Shimon Yochai, Ki Asir bin Chamei Acharei L'Rabbah Kolam Mesirot, who says, no, the Pasuk says that don't intermarry because it'll lead you astray, which shows you that it's not limited to the seven nations. It's anybody who might lead you astray, which means that it applies to all non-Jews. My Ikva Meimar, he says, yeah, but Ela D'Oraita Ishut Derechatnut. Biblically, it's only marriage that is prohibited, or not marriage, but being intimate with them in a marriage context, meaning in a permanent context. Va'ata inu, but the rabbis came, Gazra fil derech znut, and they said that even a one night stand is prohibited, but biblically it's not.
But Rabbi, isn't this again thing, because it says you're not, the reason that it says something, you're not supposed to make, your parents, like, you're not supposed to make our children into harlots. Therefore, isn't it better to have sex with the non-Jews because they're not our daughters, so you're, even if you're making them into harlots, it's not our daughters? Do you get what I'm saying?
No.
You're saying no one night stands even, but I'm saying isn't one of the prohibitions because you're not supposed to make Jewish daughters into harlots?
I mean, there is such a prohibition.
But so I'm saying technically then if you're having sex with non-Jews, isn't that better because then...
That is a super complicated question that has both halachic implications, ashkafic implications, ben adam lachavero implications.
What's chavero implications?
Ben adam lachavero, interpersonal implications, right?
Interesting question.
It is a very complicated question, and the short answer is no. I did.
Ross?
Not for him. He got a shayla that came my way that was about this. Not for him.
I really want
some. It was a very common, we had a long discussion about this.
I want a shot of bet to do a mishmar on this. I think that'd be very interesting.
No.
Because nami
bevedino so shame gazu. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? A one-night stand was also prohibited by shame. Amazingly. Right? The Gemara, right, retrojects it back to shame. You know? Bring her out and be burned. So the Gemara says, you're right. So the Gemara says, maybe there's a difference between a male non-Jew with a Jewish female, right? Where that, and she's going to go after Avodah Zarah, but not the other way. And then they prohibit a Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman. Or says, oh, come on. Yisrael Balavik Chavim Halacha Moshe Misinai. That's Halacha Moshe Misinai. How do I know that's Halacha Moshe Misinai? Bo'ol Aramit Kanam Pogimbo. Right? That if you catch someone sleeping with it, right, with an Aramit, then the zealots can kill him, which shows that that Halacha is fundamental. So he says, Amarle D'Oraita B'Farhesya. No. It's biblically prohibited for a Jew to sleep with a non-Jew in a public context. K'may Shishaya, like that story. Very. Because we're allowing him to kill. So it must be usher. Va'ata inu gazra afil bitzin. And the rabbis instituted even in private. Mitzvah na'am beidin shal chashmonai gazru. That was Gemara says that wasn't the rabbis, that was Chashmonaim. The Chadar of Dimi Amar Beit Nishan Chavonai goes, do you understand how convoluted this whole thing is?
No, an Aramean
right?
is separate. Like they're saying it's from Sinai, actually, not from
yes.
the
Yes. So now the Gemara says, ah, no, that's the Beit Din of Chashmonaim. Yisrael Abal Chavim Chayev Mishum Nashgah. So, and Chiyata Ravin Amar Nashgahs. Right? That the intimacy with a non-Jew carries right, these four Isurim Derabana, Nida Shivcha Goya. Eshet Ish, or Nashgaz, the last one being Zona. So, Ki Gomer says, Ki Gomer Bein Nishal Chashmonai, Bia. That's actual intimacy. Aval Yichud Lo. But not Yichud. Vata Inu, Gazra Filo Yichud. So, Gomer says, no. Yichud Nami Beit Nishal David Gazru. David HaMelech is the one who said you couldn't have Yichud with non-Jews. Damar Rav Yehuda Bota Shah Gazra Yichud. Right, because after you destroy Amnon and Tamar, they instituted Yichud. So Hadam Yichud about Yisrael. He said, no, David instituted against Yichud with Jews. Avol Yichud of Chavim lo, Adinu Gazra fil Yichud of Chavim. Mara says that can't be Yichud about Yisrael. Doraitohi Yichud for Jews is biblical. Damar of Yochanan Shem Rishim Niot Tzadak Remez Yichud Ben Atorah Minayin. How do we have a hint for it? Shnei Mar Kisitcha Chichaveni Mecha. Ben Aim Mesit Ben Av Eno Mesit. Why in the context of a Mesit, right? If someone who entices you to do the Vadazara, does the Pasuk say, Ben Imecha, do only your maternal brothers lead you to a Vadazara and not your paternal brothers? It means that the only Erva with whom you can be secluded is your parent or child. Right? The parent-child relationship is impervious to that problem. But other arayot, you can't. So the Gemara says, no. Yichud d'arayta, I understand this is very long, but I want you to understand how complex this is. Yichud d'arayta d'eshet ish. That's a married woman. V'ata David gazra fila yichud d'pnuya. And David said that even unmarried women who are not erva, right, especially if they're not nida, and said yichud is asur even with a non-married woman. V'ati tamide beit shamay beit hillel gazra fila yichud d'ovichavim. And Hillel and Shammai came and prohibited even being secluded with a non-Jewish
Why?
Woman.
Why? They're not giving a reason here.
Because you might sleep with him.
But if you do, they're not saying what's not allowed about that.
Yeah, we did. We went through
you
17.
Said if he's not in Nida, right? You're saying they automatically, but that also seems to be a Derabbanan. I'm saying a lot
yeah,
of
so what's
like,
the problem? Ah, these are four stage Derabbanan. Remember we talked about this at the beginning, right? Is how could you have multiple stage Derabbanan? Don't we normally say in Gozen Xer, and I said, too bad. Right? Because
no,
when it's really chamor things, and Avodah Zarah is at the end, the Beis Yosef says you're allowed to. And then we talked briefly about the question of, is Ein Gozen Gzeira a rule that Rabbanan can't, or they normally don't? Right? That was the suffix Neimak Halacha. And he, correct, and the Eimak Halacha proves that it's that we normally don't. Not that we can't, we have the authority to, just we don't normally. But if a lot is at stake, we will. So why was it worth reading through all this Gemara? Because we're not going to spend a million hours on the very fascinating methodological things, which of course I would rather spend more time on that because I love that lamdus and I love that type of stuff. The reason to show you how serious this is, I mean, Gemara is building layer after layer because this is part of a much more complicated problem of relating to non-Jews. Now let's just finish up. We're not going to be able to finish Gemara, but let's get a few more lines in. So Gemara says, "Ma'al davar acher mishum davar acher." So remember, we said that this leads to the other thing, which leads to the other thing. So what's the other thing that leads to the other thing? What's the other thing? Are you confused yet? The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachum Rav Yitzchak Gazral Tino Govei Kolchavim Sheitame Beziva." We forbid a male Gentile child that he is tame as if he's a zav zava. Shelo Yetinuk Yisrael Ragel Etzlo, to keep Jewish male children away from the non-Jewish male child, B'mishkav Zachar, to prevent them from being engaged in homosexual intercourse. Right? So we have many, right? So it's oil and bread are Asr Mishum Yayin, which is Asr because of their daughters, which is Asr because of the Zara, because that might lead to not just marrying them, but homosexual relationships between men of a Jew and a non-Jew.
Why we're worried about Avodah Zarah because it might lead to homosexual relations?
It's saying he can't be friends with them because it could lead to homosexual relations. This is so.
The Amar Rabbi Zerah, and then the Gemara says Rabbi Zerah did Sargadol Hayel Yitzar Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Asi Yitzar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Yitzar Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yana Yitzar Rabbi Natan Bar Amram. Another Amram Yitzar Rabbi. Because I had great trouble when I asked this question to Riyasi, and Riyasi tried to get Rabbi Yochanan to answer. Rabbi Yochanan tried to get Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai tried to get Rabbi Nathan Ram. Rabbi Nathan Ram tried to get Rabbi Nasi, and what is going on? Right? No one understood this, right? You're not the only ones who are wondering what's going on. And he said, "Tinuk over kochav meimetai mitamei b'ziva." When is a non-Jewish male child? When does he have tumat ziva? Amarli ben yomo. From the moment he's born, Shabbat Yitzhar Abchia, Amarlo Ben Teshuran Yom Echad. And he said, no, from nine. What's nine?
They claim you're able
what's
to
nine? What's nine? Yeah, exactly. Because Chazal think that you can have, that you can are capable of an erection at nine. And therefore you can have it. Ukshabati Vertseti Divarai Lifnei Rebbe. And when I told Rebbe, Amarli Hanach Dvarai, throw that out.
Nine is too young. You mean 9 in 1 day?
9 in 1 day. Hanach dvarai v'achol is divrei Rabbi Chiya. Leave that. He says no. The Amar tina go v'chavim mei dami dami zivim deisham yom echad. Why? Hovel v'roy lebiach. Because at 9 he's capable of having intercourse. Therefore, mitami nami beziva. And Amar Ravina Hilkach Haitinoker of Chom Bachal Shom Yavachad Hover Uyelabia Metamanami Beziva. And therefore, for women, it takes place at 3. She does. Gemara says, "Ma'od detem." She's physically capable.
At 3,
she's physically capable. That's what we're saying. Pshita ma'od detema high yodel argule or lo argule. So you might have say, but a 3-year-old could not seduce and therefore shouldn't be. Gemara says, "Kamash one." The gzera still applies.
Ridiculous.
Okay. Okay. I think we should stop. Therefore, now, and then what I think we should do next time, 1 second, is